Today's shiur is Masechta Chul and Daf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Our Gemara continues discussing, since we learned in the previous shiur that Rav Ashi explained that our Mishnah is talking about a Shechitas Kuti. Our Gemara continues discussing the Shechit of a Kuti. Says the Brayis Tana Rabbanan, Shechitas Kuti Muteris. The Shechit of a Kuti is acceptable. However, says the Brayis, the Medvar Mamurim, when is that said? Kish Yisrael Omer Al Gavav. When Yisrael is watching, Aval Bo Motsu Shashachat, if it's ready after, Chaytach Kazayis, he cast the cut off of Kazayis of meat, Vinois and Loi, and give the Kuti to eat it. Because as we explained in the previous year, even though the Kutim are careful about only eating kosher food, they're not careful about Lifnei Ivelei Sita Mechshal. They don't understand Lifnei Ivelei Sita Mechshal, meaning that you're not allowed to give somebody non-kosher food to eat. So if he eats it himself, there's a clear indication that the meat is kosher. Achloi Mutar Lechem Shechitasai. Then we could eat from it. From Lav, but if he doesn't eat from it, Asar Lechem Shechitasai, and as we discussed in the previous year, if he's not here, most Rishonim say we have no option to use it because we have no proof that it's fine. Continues the Braisa. Kiyotzeba, similarly, Matzah B'yodei D'Kuriyah Shatzaparim. If we find by the Kuti, they used to string together on a string birds, and we find the Kuti having these birds. So the Halacha says the Braisa. Kaitaya Roisha Shalechemhem. We cut off the head of one of those birds, and again, for nice and light, and we feed it to the Kuti. Achlai, if he eats it, mutalechem shechitasai, that's an indication that the food, that the meat is kosher. From lav, but if he doesn't eat it, aslechem shechitasai, we may not eat from it. Tachsem Seifer makes a very interesting observation. In our previous year, we said that the only way we could trust the Kuti when we do this test is by him eating a kazayis, because they don't believe that anything less than a kazayis is a halacha. So ask the Chassam Sofer, the head of a bird is not the size of a kazayis. So the question is, how is that enough of an indication that the meat is kosher? So Chassam Sofer says, either we're talking about birds that have heads that are the size of kazayis, or says the Chassam Sofer, that a kuti, even if he's not makbid or macholos or suris, that are less than a kazayis, a head is a chashuv, is a significant portion, and therefore he wouldn't eat a significant portion of meat that were not kosher. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, what is the Braisa teaching us by birds that we haven't learned by meat? What we're going to discuss more, but Pasha Pshah, why is the Braisa need to teach us the same thing by bird and by meat? So the Pasha Taretz has become clear in the Gemara, because the Shechita of an Oif may only be the Rabbanan. So the Braisa is trying to teach us that we follow this rule not only by the Raisa, but even by the Rabbanan. Another pshat is, the Braisa is telling us a very bechidish. Because although we've been learning already two consecutive shiurim, that there's a way of determining if the Shechita is kosher by asking the Kuti to eat the Kazayis, that's only where we have no choice. It's a bidyevit. Teaches us the Braisa very bechidish, that if the Kuti already shechted the birds, and now we want to purchase the birds from him, we can rely on this test of him eating the kazayis l'chatchila. But before we go further, let's just review something we learned in the previous year. In the previous year, we learned a machloikis of Abaye v'Rova. If we could rely on yoytze v'nichnes, just coming in and out by the kuti shechita. And says the Gemara, Abaye says we can't, and Rava says we can. Says the Gemara, that their opinions are very much visible in this Braisa. They each base their opinion on something that they learned in this Braisa. Says the Gemara, Abaye daik m'reisha. Abaye uses this Braisa from the Reisha to prove his point. And Rava daik m'seifa. Abaye daik m'reisha, tam d'Yisrael oymer al gabav. Only because d'Yisrael oymer al gabav, that's when you could eat from the kuti shechita. Ava yoytze v'nichnas, loy, would not be good enough. Furthermore, we discussed this yesterday, it seems from here, the Rishonim say this, that according to Abaye, Yoytze v'nichnas will still require the test of a kazayis. Because what's the Brisa saying, according to Baya? Even if the Yisrael was yoytze v'nichnas, that is not enough unless you also did the test. Rava daik mi sefer. Rava, however, makes his point from the sefer. Because what did the sefer say? When do we do the test of him eating the kazayis, him eating the meat? Tamid debor matzah shashachet. Only because we already found the meat completely slaughtered. Which seems to indicate, av yoytze v'nichnas, if it was a yoytze v'nichnas, there would be no need to do the test. Shapadami, there would no, because we could rely on a yoytze v'nichnas. Ask the Gemara, obvious question. So what's Abaye going to do with the Sefer? And what's Rav going to do with the Reisha? And as Ritva actually points out, the Gemara could have asked a different question, according to Ritva. The Gemara could have asked that the Reisha and the Sefer seem to contradict each other. The Gemara asked the question in a different format, asking what Abaye is going to do with the Sefer and what's Rav going to do with the Reisha. But the question is really one and the same. However, there are Achroinim that disagree. And they say, if not that Abaye was making his deek in the Reisha, and Rav was making his deek in the Sefer, the Gemara could have explained that there's no stira. And they give a number of ways of understanding this. They could have said that everybody agrees that Yoytze v'nichnas is enough. If Yoytze v'nichnas is enough, why doesn't the Reisha say it? Because the Reisha wants to teach us, because the Braisa wants to teach us that even though it wasn't a Yoytze v'nichnas, there's still an option. What's still the option? Do the test. And there are other terutzim that they give. Says the Gemara, or the Abaye kasha sefer, what will Abaye do with the sefer? Amalech says Abaye, Yoytze v'nichnas nami bo umatzah karolei. According to Abaye, Yoytze v'nichnas, we explained this in the previous year, according to Abaye, has no halachic validity. So says Abaye, when the sefer says that it's after the shechita, or it's a Yoytze v'nichnas, it's all one and the same. And that's why the Braisa just chose one of two options. Ask the Gemara, or the Rava Kash Reisha, what will the Rava say with the Reisha? With the Reisha seems to indicate that you have to have Oymer al Gabov, Yoytze v'nichnas isn't good enough. Answers the Gemara, Amloch Yoytze v'nichnas, Nami ka Oymer al Gabov Domi. It's good enough. So, there's a few important points to make here. The Rajba says, let's learn the words of the Gemara very well. He says, if you look in the word of the Gemara, Abaye says, Yoytz v'nachnas, nami bo umatzah karolei. They're identical. Rava doesn't say that. Rava says, Yoytz v'nachnas, nami koimel al gabav. They're not identical. Because you can't call Yoytz v'nachnas the same as Oymer al gabav. And therefore, when the Gemara is explaining Abaye, the wording of the Gemara is very meduic. The mamish the exact same. When the Gemara is explaining Rava, he's saying they're halachically the same, but they're not technically the same. But then there's an obvious question. If Rav is saying that the chiddush of the Reisha is that you don't have to have Oymer al Gabav, even Yoytze v'nichnas is good enough, so what's the obvious question? The obvious question is, so why does the Reisha say that you had Oymer al Gabav? The Reisha should have said a bigger chiddush, that Yoytze v'nichnas is good enough. If that's the halacha, the Reisha should have said the bigger chiddush. So I heard him say a beautiful teretz. It speaks to the heart of Yoytze v'nichnas. Why is Yoytze v'nichnas effective? I'm not there. The Mashgiach is not there. Why is Yoytze v'nichnas effective? Yoytze v'nichnas is effective because there's a psychological element to Yoytze v'nichnas. Because since he knows since I can walk in at any moment, and the person knows that I can walk in at any moment, and he's frightened if I'll catch him. That's a very important part of Yoytze v'nichnas. Therefore, the halacha is that Yoytze v'nichnas is effective. But what would be the halacha? And there are such people. They don't get scared. And they know I can walk in, and even if I catch them, they don't care. So the halacha is that Yoytze v'nichnas wouldn't be effective. But what would be the halacha regarding Oymer al Gabov? The same individual that I just identified, that he's not worried about me. If I'm Oymer al Gabov, what would be the halacha? Then it is effective. So that's the pshat in the Reisha. You know why the Reisha chose to speak about Oymer al Gabov versus Yoytze v'nichnas? Because Oymer al Gabov always works. It makes no difference what type of individual this kuti is. Yoytze v'nichnas, you have to start looking at what kind of person he is. That's why the Braisa chose something that's always effective. Continues the Gemara. Ki Yoytze ba. The Braisa said, the second part of the Braisa that we began today's shiur was, might be under the Kuriyah Shal Tzipirit, and we found with this kuti all of these birds. Kaitei roshay, you take off the head of one of them and you feed him. If he eats it, it's a proof that it's kosher. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why is this effective? Leichish demahai the who davashachet. Shapir, maybe we said that the kutim only worry about themselves, they don't worry about others. So maybe the bird that I gave him happens to be the kosher bird. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nasha, Simon Machnas Ismail Bezicharim, from Machnis and Tachas Knafav. He doesn't know which bird I gave him. There's a whole bunch of birds here. I gave him one of them. He has no idea of knowing which is the bird that I gave him. Ask the Achroinim, a Gevaldige Kasha. Let's say the Kuti knows that one of the birds is treif. But there are a number of birds here. So the halacha is that he thinks it's a suffix, and he could be makel by a suffix. We're machmer on a suffix, and he's makel on a suffix. So why is that a good test? So the Achronim answer, there's a famous machloikus Rajba Rambam. If suffix deraisa, when we have a shayla of a suffix deraisa, which is the case that I just described, that the halacha is l'chumra, is that that you have to go l'chumra? Is that midaraisa or midarabonim? The Rajba says, suffix deraisa l'chumra is midaraisa. So if it's deraisa, and we're learning, and we'll learn in today's shir, that the kutim amachman deraisas, so even if there's a suffix, he won't eat it. But ask the Achronim, the Tveres Yisrael asked this question, that's only if he holds a suffix deraisa l'chumra is l'chumra deraisa. But if he only holds, if the Rambam is right, the suffix deraisa l'chumra is derabonon, and the kutim are not makbid on the rabbonons, so why wouldn't he eat from it? So the Tveres Yisrael says a great teretz. Tveres Yisrael says, why does the Rambam say suffix deraisa is l'chumra only mid rabbonon, not mid deraisa? Because he learns it from Sukkim. He learns it from drushes in the Torah. The kutim don't subscribe to any of those drushes. So we could have a machloikus Rambam and Rajba. What is the status of a suffix deraisa? The kutim certainly hold a suffix deraisa. L'chumra is midaraisa. But then the Achronim ask a different question. Maybe what happened here was that there was one bird that wasn't kosher, got mixed up with all the other birds, and the kuti is relying on Rav. But who says that all the birds are kosher because he ate from one of the birds? So there are two very different approaches how the Achronim respond to this teretz. The Lamdasha teretz to this question is that if it's batel b'roi for the kuti, it's also batel b'roi for us. That's going to be talking about a case that the bird isn't big enough. We're going to explain that it's not a kichtich shroi l'skabit, it's not a barrier, and therefore, if it's batel for the kuti, it's batel for us. That's the more Lamdasha approach. The Chasam Sofer has a great approach. What are we saying? That the kuti is relying on roif? What is the basis that we rely on roif? Throughout Shas, throughout Halacha. Because the Torah says, Achir Rabim Lahatis. But what is the hallmark of Kutim? They look at the Pasuk the way it says. They say, Achir Rabim Lahatis means that when you have a Bezdin and you take a vote, you follow the majority. They don't subscribe to the entire concept of Roiv. So what do we worry about? That the Kuti is relying on Roiv? We follow Roiv. They don't believe in Roiv. So we don't have to worry that that's what he's relying on. So again, the Gemara's question was, maybe this is the bird that he knows is fine. So the Gemara b'machnis and tachas knafav. We don't show him which, we keep them all under our packet. He doesn't know which bird we're going to give him. But ask the Gemara furthermore, v'dumas seven havinyol begaveh. Maybe the kuti knows that this bird is kosher because he had a simon on that bird. Answers the Gemara, amram, shashi, the mismas misleis mismusay. They crush the birds and there's no simonim left. Ask the Gemara furthermore, but how could we rely on the kuti? V'dumas kasavi kutim, maybe kutim are of the opinion, a sugi that we're going to learn extensively in our Masechta, that ain't shechita life min ha-Torah, that they don't subscribe to shechita altogether. Ask the Gemara, if that's the approach you're taking, l'tameich, the basic halachas of shechita, which we identified in the introduction to our Masechta, shir, that you're not allowed to pause during the shechita, darsa, that you have to go back and forth, you can't just cut with pressure, chaloda, that you're supposed to cut, not go within between the simonim, but on top of the simonim. Hagroma, you're supposed to cut in the proper place on the neck. Ve'ikur, you're supposed to cut with a sharp neck. Mix even, doesn't say anyway these halachas in the Torah. El kivin d'achzikabu, achzikabu. We're assuming that any halacha that the kutim accept, they accept. Hachinami, kim dachsiku achsiku. Once we know that the kutim are makbid on shchita, on ifis, there's no reason to be concerned that this kuti doesn't believe in shchita and ifis. What was the Gemara's havamina? So Rishayim explained the Gemara, and the havamina assumed that although the details of shchita aren't mentioned in the Torah, but the concept of shchita of an animal is in the Torah. The Torah used the words v'zavachta. But the Torah never uses the word v'zavachta regarding birds. So the Gemara and the Havamina assumed that maybe they have a different attitude towards birds than they do towards animals. So the Gemara, no, since nothing's beferish, even if they follow, they follow. If they don't, they don't. Says the Gemara, now that we've identified that this is a very important part of our attitude towards kutim, do they, what is their attitude to the mitzvahs? Says the Gemara, if they do or don't follow a mitzvah, but the like siva, regarding a mitzvah which isn't explicitly in the Torah, what should be our attitude towards the kutim observance? Tanoyi. It's actually a machloikas tanoim. The Tanya. Matzis kuti miteris. If a kuti bakes matzis for Pesach, it's mutter. Vadam yotz b'dei yavos for Pesach. Tanakama says, we could take the kuti's matzah and eat them on Pesach. A number of points to be made. First of all, Tosfos asked the question, how can we eat the kuti's matzah? Isn't it pas akum? And we're not allowed to eat pas akum, the pas of a goy. So two terutzim are given. One terutz is that it's before the gzeira of pas akum. That's what this Bryce is referring to. Another terutz is that it's not that the kuti baked it, he only made the dough. And we completed the baking, so there's no problem pas palta. But, as the Rishonim, another question. The kuti baked this matzah. And again, I have to repeat, as I said it today's shir and I said in yesterday's shir, the kutim aren't worried about lifnei iver. So maybe this the kuti is not using this matzah to be mekayim the mitzvah. So how can we rely on it? Answer the Rishonim, that we see that the kuti eats that matzah on Pesach by night. But ask the Rishonim, how is that a proof? Let's think about it. Tonight is Pesach by night. I see the kuti eating this matzah. So it's right that he's using it to be Mekayim Mitzvah's matzah. Tells us the Tanakhama that I could use that matzah as well. But maybe the kuti is going to eat another kazayis matzah from a different batch. And from that other batch, and therefore this matzah is not being Mekayim the mitzvah, so how could I use that matzah? That's what the Achronim ask on this teretz. It's a very strong question. It's a practical question, but it's a strong question. And the terutzim that I saw in the Achronim are all sort of practical answers. One they say is that you're right. The first night of Pesach we can never eat from the kuti's matzah. Because even if we see the kuti eating that matzah by the Seder, we always have to be concerned that maybe he's going to be eating another kazayis later. And by the time the Seder is over, by the time it's chatzos, it's too late for me to eat the matzah. I could only eat from that matzah the next night. In Chutzlaritz where there's two nights of Seder. Another teretz that I saw that the Achronim suggest is that I know that the kuti has no other matzah. That this is the only matzah that's available to the kuti, and I see the kuti eating this matzah, and it's Pesach by night, so it's a proof that this matzah is fine. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Lezer says you can't eat the kuti's matzah. Why? And the way most Rishonim explain, and that's the way we're going to learn, there are a lot of halachas involved in making sure that the matzah is not chometz. Kuti don't know how to do that. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kometz Shechzik beKutim Habe Medagdim BaYosim Yisrael. Any mitzvah that Kutim follow, they're even more careful than we are. Now the Gemara begins to analyze the Brisa. Amar Matzis Kutim Teres. The Tanakhama's opinion was that the matzah of the Kuti is mutter for Adam Yotz BeYidei Chavasei BePesach, and a person could eat that matzah on Pesach. Asked Rav Pshita, why not? Answers the Gemara, Ma Detayim Eloi BeKi BeShimer. Because there are really two halachas regarding matzah. There's one halacha regarding matzah, I just said it a moment ago. You have to make sure that your matzah isn't chametz to gematzes. That's why we know matzah has to be baked within 18 minutes. We've learned in our shiurim, you have to be careful about the matzah that's properly baked, etc. There's another halacha. There's halacha is that the matzah that you eat by the Seder, by the first night, had to be made l'shem mitzvah matzah. Says the Gemara, the Tanakhama holds, that not only is a kuti sufficiently aware of making sure that his matzah is not chametz, he's also sufficiently aware that you have to make the matzah for the seid l'shem mitzvah matzah. Rebbe Lezer's opinion is, b'fi she'im b'kim b'dukim mitzvah. Why? K'savar, loy b'kim b'shimer. As I said a moment ago, Rebbe Lezer's opinion is that the kutim don't know how to make sure that the matzah is not chametz stick. Rav Shimon Gamaliel Oimer, chametz shechzik b'kutim habim medagim b'yos Yisrael. And if we know that the kutim are careful, we can eat their matzah. Ask the Gemara, hi, the Tanakhama. So what's the difference between what Rav Shimon Gamaliel says and what the Tanakhama holds? Answers the Gemara, ikibinayi the ksiva v'loich zikibo. If it's a mitzvah, that's doraisa, but we don't know what their attitude toward that the mitzvah is. The Tanakhama is going to hold, Tanakhama sabah kivin the ksiva, since this mitzvah is written in the Torah, afagav the loich zikibo, even though we don't know if the kutim are makbid on the mitzvah, we can rely on them. Rav Shimon Gamaliel sabah, that isn't good enough. Just because it's a mitzvah in the Torah, it isn't sufficient. E ichsik in, if we know that they follow that mitzvah, fine. Eloi ichsik loy. If we don't know, it isn't good enough. So we're up to now, is that Shimon Gamaliel is a machmer. According to the Tanakhama, it's sufficient that the mitzvah is written in the Torah. According to Shimon Gamaliel, it has to be written in the Torah, and the kuti has to be makbid on that mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're understanding the Braisa, the wording doesn't work. Ihochi, let's read the words of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Kol mitzvah shechzik b'kutim, which seems to say that the Rav Shimon Gamaliel is a maker. But the way the Gemara just explained, Rav Shimon Gamaliel is a machmer. He should be saying that the Tanakhama says all you need is that it's written in the Torah. Rav Shimon Gamaliel says you need two things, written in the Torah, and they follow it. But that isn't what the wording seems to be saying. Ella, says the Gemara, the Machlokes is different. Ik v'nai d'loi k'siva v'chzikva. It isn't a mitzvah in the Torah explicitly, but we find that the kutim follow it. Tanakhama sover, the Tanakhama's opinion is, kivin d'loi k'siva, since the mitzvah isn't explicit in the Torah, afagav d'chzikva, even if we know that the kutim followed our mitzvah, namilo, you can't follow it. It has to be, that isn't good enough if it's d'chzikva. Rav Shimon Gamaliel sover, kivin d'chzikva. All we know is that we need to know that they follow the mitzvah. It doesn't make a difference if it's explicit or not. So it's a very big machlokes we show him here. According to the Tanakhama, you have to have that it's written. But what will be the attitude of the Tanakhama if it's written in the Torah, but we don't know if they follow that mitzvah? Will the Tanakhama hold, some Rishonim say, that once it's in the Torah, it's good enough? Or will the Tanakhama hold, you need two conditions, that it's written in the Torah, and we know that they follow it. Machlokes Rishonim. There's a fascinating tshuva Shvus Yaakov here. Says the Shvus Yaakov, look at this Gemara. He says, we have here a kuti. And all we know is that it's a mitzvah that's written in the Torah, and it's good enough that we could eat in the kuti on Pesach. Says the Shvus Yaakov, the Stechemet brings down the Shvus Yaakov. So people who say, I don't eat in this place or that place on Pesach, it's against what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, as long as you know the person has the right attitude, it's good enough. So the Stechemed says, but we know that many people have the custom that they're very careful what and where they eat on Pesach. So he says, they have to be very careful when they do that. They can't take an attitude that I don't eat because I don't know if he's reliable. You see how Gemara says, the standards of reliability are fairly easy. You could say that I have my own standards, but you should never knock somebody else's. Continues the Gemara. Gufa. We learned in our previous year the opinion of Rava. That Rava's opinion is, Amar Rava, Yisrael Mumar, Oichel Nevelis L'Tayovin. If you have Yisrael that's Oichel Nevelis L'Tayovin, that he's not Makbar on Machalas Asuris, but it's L'Tayovin, as I explained in the previous year, it's not that he's a Lahachis, it's just L'Tayovin, he doesn't want to be bothered. So if I am Boydik Sakin, and we give him the knife, for nice and loy, we could eat from Mishchita. My Tama, because says Rava, what is this person's attitude? If he could eat kosher meat, why would he want to eat treif meat? Interesting, machlokes Rishonim. What would be the halacha according to Rava, where you have somebody who's a mumer l'tayoven, not a machalas asuris. He's a mumer l'tayoven, one of the other mitzvahs. I'm avoiding Shabbos because we're going to talk about Shabbos. But one of the other Tariag mitzvahs, not in Machalos Asuris and not Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, What will be our attitude towards his shechita? Some say, since he's makbara machalos asuris, we could eat from his shechita without any problem. Others say that once he's in the category of a mumala tayovin, even though he's not a mumala tayovin on machalos asuris, he keeps a completely kosher diet, but once he's not careful about a mitzvah, you can't just rely on him without any further bedika. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying, if Rava's basic concept in looking at this mumla tayovin is because lo shavi chetei v'achal esura, so why do we have to prepare the knife for him? Even if we don't bother make the knife, we should be able to eat from a shechita. Answers the Gemara, mitrach le'tarach. And this is the basic attitude towards this individual that Rava takes. The person is not a bad person. The person just doesn't want to be bothered. So preparing a knife for shechita is a tercha that he won't do. But if we go ahead and prepare the knife properly, and he just has to slit the neck, that he'll do. Amalei Rabbanan L'Rava, Tanya D'Masailach, I'll bring your raya to your concept. It says in a braisa, Chomtzin Shel Oivrei Aveira Achar Pesach. You have a person who isn't so careful about Pesach, only not having chomets. And we know that chomets Shavol of a Pesach, chomets after Pesach, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to know. So the question is, am I allowed to buy chomets from that person? Says that the braisa mutter, miyad, right after Pesach, I could buy chomets from this individual. Why? Ramnesha mechlifin. He makes sure to exchange it. He makes sure to exchange it with a goy's chametz, and therefore it's mutter. Savrua, and we're going to explain this more in a moment. So they assumed in explaining this braisa, that homani, whose opinion does this braisa reflect? It reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehudahi. Dama, chametz acha pesach deraisa. The chametz after Pesach is an issa deraisa. Viktani, and even though we're dealing with a shaylev and a deraisa, viktani with neshem achlifin, that he's going to switch his chametz for the goy's chametz. Alma, so what do we see from here? Like shavik atera, that this person, even though he isn't so observant, if he could easily get mutter, like shavik atera v'achli sura. Same thing here, if he could eat kosher meat and he could shecht it properly, I don't have to be worried that he didn't shecht it properly. A few points I want to make. One point that the Rishonim discuss is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chomet Shavol of a Pesach is an Issa Deraisa, so we know whenever something is Issa Deraisa, the classical case is Hegdish and Shemitah, and I exchange it for something else, so what I exchange it from becomes just as Issa. So what is this Mumer thinking? He wasn't careful about Chomet and Pesach, so after Pesach, all the Chomet that he had over Yontif, he exchanges it with a goy's chametz. The goy's chametz becomes just as usher as his chametz. So what's he accomplishing? So I saw three terutz. One terutz is that the entire concept, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that chalifei chametz, she'ovel of a Pesach, are not usher. That's one terutz. Another terutz is that this mumer isn't such a big talmud chacham. And in his mind, he thinks that the actual chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach is usher. If it wasn't owned by a Jew over Pesach, we could be more lenient. And that's why he goes through the tircha of making this exchange, because he doesn't want to have Isser when he could have Heter. A third teretz, is that even though the chalifei chametz may be Asr, they're only Asr for the person who made the chalipin. Meaning that if a Jew owned chametz on Pesach, and now, after Pesach, he wants to exchange it with a goy's chametz, that chametz will be also to him. But another person will be allowed to eat that chametz. We're not talking about the mumah here. We're talking about if we're allowed to get chametz from that individual, that's why it's mutter. Again, here, the Rishonim and Achronim asked the question that I asked earlier in the year. But if this chametz we're assuming is chametz that was owned by a goy, why isn't it pas akum? The pas akum is also. So again, they say, some of the terutzim that I said earlier, it's before the Gzeira Pasakum, it's that we're taking dough, we're not taking a finished baked product. Rekivega takes a very interesting approach. Rekivega says like this, the halacha is, the Ramah says this, that even though Chazal made a Gzeira on Pasakum, they were more lenient by Pas Palter. Why were they more lenient by bread that's baked from a bakery? Because bread is a staple food item. It's right after Pesach. There is no bread baked by Jews. So we have to get bread from somewhere. The heter that the Ramah says about Pas Palter says Rabbi Kivega was said on Pesach, bread right after Pesach. Where else are you going to get your bread? Ramosha uses this Gemara, and everybody who's a little familiar with Ramosha's Tshuvas, there's a big question that a lot of people ask about Mechiras Chametz. That we know that people do Mechiras Chametz. Is it really a Mechira? Is any guy coming to my house to take the Chametz? If somebody has a shop and he sells Chametz, Ramosha was very lenient, even with people who have shops and aren't that observant, and relying on the Mechiras Chametz. And the question is, how could Ramosha take such a serious attitude towards Mechiras Chametz when most people don't really look at it as a real transaction? So he says, Al Gemara Zaraya. Because what does Al Gemara say? The Lo Shavik Ater V'Achal Isura. Every Jew, given the option of avoiding an Isser, Al Gemara says, we'll take that option. If Mechiras Chametz is a legal option for avoiding the Isser of Chametz, every Jew will take it very seriously. And that's why Ramosha had such a lenient approach towards Mechiras Chametz based on this Gemara. There's a fascinating Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, if we learn our Gemara, I don't have the time to show you all the differences, but in a way, the Gemara is more lenient with the Kuti than he is with a Mumer. And the question is, why are we more lenient with a Kuti than we are with a Mumer? A Mumer is a real Jew. A Kuti is the question on the entire Yiddishkeit, if they're Jews all together. Why are we more lenient with Kutim than we are with Mumerim? Says the Chassam Sofer. That's why. A Jew has a Yetzahara. A Mumer is a real Jew. So he got a real strong Yetzahara. So we have to be very careful. A Kuti may not be Jewish. So he doesn't have such a strong Yetzahara, so we don't have to be so worried. Ask the Gemara, continues the Gemara. Memai, who says, so we see that by the Raisa, the Kuti, Lashavach Ater V'Achal Yisura. Says the Gemara, that's what we're going to say, the Chomet Shavu of Pesach is in the Raisa. Memai, Dimar Rav Shimon, maybe this Raisa reflects the opinion of Rav Shimon, that holds Chomet Shavu of Pesach, the Rabbanon, the Kima Klinen, and therefore where are we lenient? Dafgot, Bid Rabbanon. But by the Raisa, Shechita, which we're discussing, Lima Klinen. We won't be lenient, says the Gemara. Let's think about it. But to have an Amir Rabbi Shimon, let's assume that this price does reflect the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And the entire Isser, and that's the way we pass it actually, of Chomet Shavu Pesach Zon Drabonim. Mik Tani Shani Oy Machlifu. The price doesn't say that maybe he made a switch. The price uses much longer terms. But Meshe Machlifin Ktani. The Vadai Machlifin. The price is telling us that this Mumer has Chometz after Pesach, we could be certain he's going to exchange it with the Chometz of an Akum. Now let's think about it. The proof is even stronger now. What was a Kasha turns into a Teretz. Umad Rabbanan. If this entire Isser is only an Isser Rabbanan, we still see the attitude of the Murm R, the Loishavik Ater V'Achli Surah. So where by Shechita, where there's an issue of the Raisa, certainly we could accept that with the Raisa like Koshkei, and we could rely on the Shechita of the Mumer. However, very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says that we learned in our previous shir, and it's a concept that also is going to keep on coming up in our Masechta, the Rav, most people who are involved in Shechita, Mumchem Hein. We could be comfortable that if we see somebody Shechting, he must know Hilchos Shechita. Says the Rambam, you can't say that by a Mumer. By a Mumer, you have to know for sure. The Rajba disagrees. He says that Roiv applies to everybody. What's Pshat in the Rambam? The Rajba seems to make sense. We learned yesterday, we have a Roiv. So the Achroinim explained the Rambam beautifully. What's the basis why we say Roiv Eitz Shechit Mumchamein? It all is based on Yerushmayim. That a person's a Yerushmayim, a person who's a religious Jew, would never dare to Shecht an animal or a bird if he doesn't know what he's doing. By Kuti, by Mumer, we can't say that. We see that he isn't such an observant person. So there we can't just rely on the Roiv. We have to make sure that he's indeed a Mumch. We have to test him. Says the Gemara, Lema Masayle. So the Gemara wants to continue supporting Rava's opinion that Rava holds that somebody who's a Mumer for Shechita, we could rely on a Shechita if we check the knife. Mumer le davar acher. And why does the Gemara have to bring a Raya to Rava? So I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation in the Rishonim is that's the Derech of the Gemara tries to support with different proofs if possible. Another explanation that I saw is that if we just finish saying that perhaps Chometz Shavuot over Pesach is Rabbanan and Shechit is a Deraisa, so it's a weak comparison. So the Gemara wants to bring a Raya when we're dealing with a Deraisa. It says in a Braisa, Hakla Shachtim, the Braisa says the following, Hakla Shachtim, Afil Kuti, Afil Oral, Afil Yisrael Mumar. Ask the Gemara, let's go through this Braisa. Hai Oral, Hai Chidami. Exactly who is this Oral? Ilay Men Mesach V'Chas Mila, that it's a situation that his brothers passed away during the Mila, and that's why he didn't have a Mila. Hai Yisrael Mal Yehu. He's a full-fledged Jew. Interesting, Machloikus Rishonim. Now the Yehuda discusses this extensively. Taisa says here, that just because, we're always used to, that's the way I always learn, that if somebody had two older brothers who passed away during the Mila, you don't make a Mila on the third brother. Taisa is not necessarily. You don't make a Mila until you know he's strong enough to have a Mila. But once he's more mature, just because his older brothers passed away during the Mila, it should, doesn't mean you shouldn't make a Mila. Other Rishonim disagree. They say as soon as you have two older brothers that passed away during the Mila, don't make a Mila on the third one. El Pshita, who's this individual? Mumala Rolis. And the Mefarshim explained this. It can't be a Mumala Hachis. Why can't it be a Mumala Hachis? Because if somebody's a Mumala Hachis, then we said yesterday, anybody's a Mumala Hachis can never be a Shaykhid. He's a Mumala Rolis, so the way most Rishonim explain is he's just scared to have a bris. He's scared to go through an operation. Rashi says Mavat. He's a Mavat in Bris Mila. But isn't that a Mumala Hachis? And a Mumala Hachis, we just said, is not acceptable. So Mefarshim say beautiful Peshat and Rashi. Rashi has a very big problem. You're never considered a Mumar, I said in the previous year, unless you do it a number of times. By Bris, you could only do it once. Either you have it or you don't have it. So how does anybody ever become a Mumala Rolis? Says Rashi, we're talking about an individual that we keep on asking, why don't you have a Bris? And he keeps on refusing. That's how he becomes a Mumala Rolis, not Lahachis. The Kesavar, and this Braisa is obviously of the opinion that Mumal Davachad lo have a Mumal L'chol HaTayra Kula, and therefore we could accept his Shechita. And the Rishai and the Mefarshim make a wonderful point. Look at this person. Everybody has a Bris Mila. This person doesn't even have a Bris Mila, but he's still part of our people. He could be a Shaychit. Eim Seifa. Let's continue the Braisa. V'Yisrael V'Afil Yisrael Muma. Ask the Gemara. What does the Braisa mean with this statement? Hai Muma Hechidami. Ima Meludavar Acher. There's a Mumma only for one issue. Hayim Mumma L'Arelis. L'davar Achad, something not related to Shechita. That's the case we just discussed. Elalav, what must the Braisa be referring to? Mumma L'Arelis. He isn't careful with Macholos Asuris. And the Braisa is teaching us, like Rava, that he's still kosher for a Shaychit if we make the knife for him. Says Mar, it's not a compelling Raya. Loi. Loi L'Aimach, Mumma L'Arelis Adavar. Loi. If he's Mumma for Shechita, we can't rely on a Shechita. Why? My Tama Kivin the Toshbe, since we see he's not careful with this, Keteridami. And therefore we can't rely on him. Ella, so who is the Braisa telling us we can rely on? It's talking about a Mumala Avodah Zarah. That the person worships Avodah Zarah. And this Braisa is following the opinion of Ravonan, who we're going to keep on discussing in our Shurim. Don Ravonan Amram Shmuel, Yisrael Mumala Avodah Zarah, even if Yisrael is a Mumala to Avodah Zarah, Mutalach Meshkita, so we could eat from Meshkita. Why? So some Rishonim explain, some Mefarshim explain, because Rav Onan doesn't subscribe to the concept that Avodah Zarah is equal to the rest of the Torah. And others explain, even if it is, that doesn't make him a possible Shaychit. Gufa, and the Gemara will now begin to explore this opinion. Gufa, Amar Rav Onan Amishmu, Yisrael Mumal Avodah Kechavim, Mutal Lechem Meshchitasai. Just because he's a Mumal Avodah Zarah, we can eat from Meshchita. Why? We all recall the episode in Nach, where Achav was a terrible Rasha. He was the Melech Yisrael, married to Izebel. Yehoshaphat was the Melech Yehuda. Actually, they were Mechutanim. Yehoshaphat's son was married to Achav's daughter. And they joined together and fought. Achav wanted to join together with Yehoshaphat to go out to battle. And the Pasuk says, she came at Sinem Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, who was a tzaddik, shenenem esudas Achav. He ate from Achav's food. Shenema, so we see Yehoshaphat the Tzaddik is eating from Achav Shechita, even though Achav was a Mumal Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, who says he ate? Achav prepared the meal, but Yehoshaphat didn't eat. Answers the Gemara, Viseyab Ksif. The Pasuk uses the word Viseyu. Asked the Gemara, Vidum Vidvarim. He tried to influence him, but not that they necessarily ate together. Answers the Gemara, Enesosu Vidvarim. You can't just influence somebody unless you give him a good meal. Asked the Gemara, is that true? Veloy, Viksiv, the Torah says, Ki Yisischa Ichicha. There's a parsha in the Torah of Amesis, where somebody tries to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, you know what that the Torah is talking about there? Bechila b'shtia. And the Farshim explained, because a Jew isn't going to do an Avera unless he's really influenced. And just talking to him isn't going to be good enough. Ask the Gemara v'ksiv, v'tisseinu by levolachinam. This is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending the Satan to influence Iyov. Answered the Gemara, l'mal ashani. Rashi explains, we can't bring a raya from the asos of Hashem to the asos of human beings. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, that obviously, when we're talking about Hashem, says the Ritva, there is no eating and drinking. Ask the Gemara, V'duma mishti shas ishti, maybe he ate mechaloi achal, but he didn't eat. Says Ramash Nashtiya, why would we say he's allowed to eat? Because we're saying, I is a problem of Yain Nesach. That means, Mumal Avaris Kacham, La Mumal Chalatara. We're allowed to eat his drink his wine. Achila Nami, Mumal Avaris Kachavim, have a Mumal Chalatara Kula. Ask the Gemara, how could you compare wine to meat? Hachi hashta. Shtia, when it comes to wine, shtam yenim hu. Unless we know that the wine was used for Avodah Zarah, there's only in this Drabbanim stam yenim. But daim lo'inesa, yayin shal Avodah Kachavim. Avlachil, when it comes to eating, emelach mumel Avodah Kachavim, ham mumel chal Torah kula, and maybe he didn't shech the meat properly. So how did your shofet eat it? And maybe he didn't eat the meat and drank the wine. Answers the Gemara, ibais ema. Lav Arch the Malka Mishta Lemechla. A king doesn't just drink without eating. Why? So I saw Rav Yonasan Shtaif says a great answer. Rav Yonasan Shtaif says, because the halacha is that a king always has to be at his best. He always has to have a clear head. So the Gemara says if you drink and you eat, you're not going to get intoxicated. If you just drink alone, you're going to get intoxicated. So a king's not just going to drink without eating. Vibay Seima, Vyizbe Fisekhsiv, Vima. How is he able to inference to him? Bezvicha. The Paiskim have a very interesting question. If the Isra of Bishal Akam applies by irreligious Jews, and one of the Raya's, I'm not Paskening the Shaila, actually we're Machmer, but one of the Raya's that there is no Isra of Bishal Akam by irreligious Jews is our Gemara. Because why wasn't there a problem with Bishal Akam here when Achav cooked the food for Yoshafet? It's a Raya that there is no Isra of Bishal Akam by irreligious Jews. Of course, it's not compelling because it could be the whole Gemara is talking about before there was a Gzeira of Bishal Akam. Right. That's why they're saying why it's Mutter. Because there's two reasons why Bishal Akam is also either Atzchasnus or Atzmachal Sasuris. So if it's Atzmachal Sasuris, it's also. If it's Atzchasnus, then no, it's a Chasnus.